Hello and welcome to Reddy and Newman's Daily Podcast, your go-to place for common questions about immigration to the United States. Reddy and Newman is a team of experienced business immigration attorneys who handle a host of visa categories and complex immigration cases. This podcast will provide an insight into our daily free conference calls hosted by our attorneys, as well as discussions on hot immigration topics. Please note that information provided is not to be construed as legal advice for your specific situation and does not constitute an engagement with Reddy and Newman PC or establish an attorney-client relationship. For specific advice on your situation, please contact an attorney. Here's your host.
Hi, this is Rahul Reddy. Today is September 12, 2019. The time is 11:30 a.m. Central Time. For the people who are listening to this in the podcast and other media, you can check our timings of our daily conference call, which Reddy and Newman PC conducts. It's free to join at rnlawgroup.com. For those people who are in the conference, to ask any question, you have to press star six to ask question. 7323, you have a question for us.
Hey, Rahul. My question is related to H-1B amendment. I'm currently doing a traveling job, meaning I live in Virginia, but my client is in Boston. And my current H-1 is tied to my home address in Virginia and also the client address in Boston. Okay?
Okay.
But my project is ending tomorrow, and my employer has found a new project in Chicago. It's also a traveling project, right? So I don't need to work there. I might have to travel.
Traveling means you are going to travel there, right?
Yes, I'll be traveling there, but I'll be staying only from Monday to Thursday if I travel.
You need to file an amendment.
Okay.
Yes,
so if that is the case, right, can I just go there, get my laptop, and then work from home till my amendment is filed? Because for amendment filing, it takes time, right? The client wants me to start immediately.
You can. The one problem we have is, are you going to just go walk in and get that one? USCIS is very strict on when you join the job. Because what if the employment letter says that you are joining it on September 13th, and now you're filing an amendment on September 20th? They will have a big problem with that.
So you can
start sitting, and I mean, they have to give documentation clearly explaining that. Look, for the first 1 week, he's working from remote. Later on, he's going to work. So I don't know how to avoid that. It may be a very tricky thing. And if you do a little bit here and there, if the USCIS is not convinced, you are gone. You will get a H-1B approval without the I-94. They will tell that you violated the status.
But I read online that, you know, if you work for less than 5 days, it's not considered as a work site, no?
Not true at all. Here is where a lot of people get into mistake, though. Let's say, for example, if you have a job in Virginia and you are staying in, let's say, New Jersey, and they send you 1 week project only to California, which is Monday through Friday, and you are not going to go back to California again, that's perfectly all right. But not that you are going to join Chicago and the first 1 week is an exemption. No. That's not true.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Under this Trump administration, it's better to be very careful and take the conservative approach, guys. Don't risk it. You'll be in big trouble. 2191. You have a question for us?
Yes, Rahul. My current H-1 till 2020 with work location as Virginia. I filed an amendment last year that when I moved to Missouri, but it was rejected. So I went back to Virginia, started back with the same at the same location, and then 6 months later, we did a transfer to the Missouri location with a new company. That has been rejected on August 28th of this month. Last month, and that was denied on specialty occupation basis. So, I've started working on the receipt with the new company. So my question is, can I go back? My old employer did not withdraw his H-1. Can I just go back and work in Virginia, or should I be refiling this H-1 transfer
The safest thing is to go back and work with the previous company since they did not withdraw the H-1B. That would be the safest thing.
Okay.
Then from there, if you want to risk yourself, you can. Now, you got your amendment denied first, right? And then the transfer got denied. And now, safest thing is to go back to the old company with the old job. Absolutely, that is the safest thing that you can do. All other options are a little bit more riskier. They can be tried. But if I have the option of going back to the old company, working in the old job, when the H-1B is not withdrawn, that is the best thing that you can do.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. Thanks for that.
1497, you have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. My name is Ashish. Currently, I'm working on EVM model, and I have a full-time offer from an employer that's in Seattle, Washington. The H-1 transfer basically got an RFE, and the immigration team is working on RFE. In the meantime, I have another offer that's in Austin, Texas. And the
what
main
H-1B
office
the
is in...
Is it, wait. What if H-1B, this H-1B that you have on RFE, is it a transfer or what RFE?
It's a transfer. It's a transfer.
So, from
so my current
H-1
with my
company,
current employer...
Yeah, go ahead. Keep telling.
Yeah, my current H-1 with my current employer is valid until 2022. The new transfer which I'm looking for with the new employer, that's an RFE. In the meantime, I have another offer.
But did you join the company B that applied
for the
transfer?
No, I haven't. Because I was clearly strict on saying that only once H-1 is completed, the transfer is successfully completed, I would be joining the company. So I'm still with my existing employer, current employer.
Smart and talented. Okay?
Yeah. I have another offer now that the company is in Austin, Texas, but the headquarters is in California. So perhaps they would also be filing for H-1 transfer in the same California location, USCIS location. Mm-hmm. Would there be any problem with this new transfer while the existing is an RFE?
Absolutely no problem.
Okay.
No problem. Absolutely no problem. You're good. Even though in the same California service center, you are trying to evaluate which job to join. Everybody loves the money that they're receiving through you. So, no, absolutely no problem, sir. You're good.
Sure. Thanks a lot. I have one more quick question, Rahul.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually planning to do online masters as well while working since I'm on H-1. So, does that qualify for or is it equal to the masters being done as a full-time student in U.S. or is there any difference that USCIS, distinguishes?
Is the whole purpose for which you are doing is to qualify under EB-2?
No, I'm already under EB-2. I have 140 approved as well.
Yeah,
this is just for learning and out of interest to grow my career.
It depends on whether it's an accredited university or non-accredited university. But
it's an accredited big university in the U.S. It's one of the most famous universities.
So, what's the university name?
It's UIUC, University of
Illinois. It's up to you. It's like, you know, you want to have an additional medal on it. That won't make much difference. In USA, you know, people don't care about the degrees that much, as much as they do care in India. So, in fact, you know, somebody has an LLM, they can't even get into the bar, even the bachelor's guys can get into. So there's a lot of difference. But, yeah, you can have it. Since you are already qualified under EB-2, it doesn't matter. It will online degrees hold the same thing. As the regular degrees, if they are accredited universities, we just tell people who are F1 visas not to do online degrees because the only reason why they are in the country is to go to college. But H1B people are doing online degrees, absolutely fine. We don't have a problem with that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
3223, you have a question for us.
Yeah, hi Rahul. Saranam Kumar here. Is it regarding my H-1B? So my company was filed that H-1B extension during February 22nd and my current visa was expired in the June 15th. I'm in the 240 days period. So my question is, USCIS will consider the 240 days once the date visa has been expired or the date they filed the extension date, Rahul?
It's the day the I-94 expires, not the day H-1B has been expired.
Okay, fine. So then my I-94 expired on June 15th. So the 240 days count will be from June 15th onwards, right?
That's right. But ideally, though, it would be preferable to get a result before the I-94 expires. But since your I-94 already expired, it doesn't matter right now.
Okay. Okay, because I also didn't get any update on my case filed on February 26th. It's almost 201 days today. I mean,
there is something called premium
days.
Processing.
Okay.
There is something called premium processing. You file it, that will be easier way to solution. Mm-hmm. There are other hard ways, like the way we are litigating cases for H-4 EADs. But why not just pay them $1,400 get resolved rather than going through a law firm? Of course, we don't do premium. If the premium process is available, we don't do.
Okay, so shall I wait for some more months, and then for 1 month to wait for the result?
I always like to get the result early, though. I don't want to get the results late. That's me.
Okay.
If I were you, I would not. But it's your personal choice right now. Since if the I-94 would not have expired, I would have told you, please go ahead for the premium processing. Since I-94 already expired, it doesn't matter right now. So whether you get the you get the decision right now or later on. 6372, you have a question for us.
Hi, Rahul. This is Kapil. So, Rahul, my H-1B is going to expire on 30th September, and this is my max out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm planning to perform change of status to H-4. But thing is that my company has applied for my H-1 extension. They have requested till 30th September. So since, this was applied 3 months back, decision is still pending. So suppose this decision is not coming by 30th September, then would it affect H-4 petition? Because I am going to request H-4 from 1st October.
Yeah. No, it won't affect at all. You can file the H-4 with the extension receipt notice that you received from the USCIS. You can mention that extension pending. The only reason why your H-4 will be affected is because if the H-1 gets rejected, it will affect your H-4. If the H-1 doesn't get rejected, it won't.
Okay.
You got the point?
Suppose means I'm not getting any result by 30th September. If I'm getting results on 1st of October and it's getting rejected, then it will affect?
It will affect your H-4, yes, sir.
So
the reason is that the reason is that there is a gap of I-94 from the time of when your I-94 expired to the time your H-4 has been filed. And that is called a bridge. So that bridge application is pending and that got denied. It may affect you. It will affect you. But if it gets approved, you're good. If it gets denied, you may have to go to India to get the stamping to come back.
Okay. So what are the suggested options? Should I continue file COS and if it's getting denied?
Right now, I would do change of status application immediately, irrespective of. Okay? That's the number one step that I would do. If you get the denial, I would want you to go to India to get the H-4 stamping and come back.
Yes, sir.
If you would have called me before your I-94 expired, I would have told you to have two options. Go for change of status and H-1B extension. If the H-1B extension gets denied, since your H-4 was filed before your I-94 expired, you would have been fine. Let me ask you a couple of other questions. Are you eligible for H-4 EAD or not?
Not yet. Not yet. Because my spouse...
There is something strategically you and your wife are not planning things properly. Because you are in the country for 6 years, you did not get your I-140 approval. Not a good planning. You may want to consult me privately, though. And have your wife on the phone so that you can plan everything in there. Because right now, people think that, I'm not getting it. I will take care of it next year. It's better to plan it well in advance. Just like the way, when I got married, I planned for my babies and all those things. The same way you have to plan immigration well in advance, what you want to do in your career, how you want to proceed, and how you're going to... Because too many things are going on, and then you're not planning things properly.
Yeah. And, sir, I have one more question. While H-4 COS, change of status in process, suppose, and I if travel to India before approval, so would it affect any stamping while coming back on H-4?
No, sir. It will not affect any stamping.
Okay, sir.
No, it will not.
So, sir, So doesn't in both the case, if my H-1 extension result is coming on October 1st or H-4 result is coming on October and both are getting denied, in that case as well, I'm safe. I just have to leave the country and then I can come back on through the stamping?
H4. That's right. H4. You can come back on H4. Don't wait for the H4 results coming in. Once the H1 results come in, you need to leave. I would recommend that you have a consultation, sir, privately, because to go over the whole thing so that you plan properly. 9700, you have a question for us.
Hey, Rahul. So my cousin, both of them, husband and wife, they have H1. So the husband went back to India because of some family reason, and he has got 221G because of the stamping. But he wants to come back. He doesn't exactly care about H1. So the question is, can he put for H4 while the 221G is in progress?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He can come here in H4 and then he can do the struggle for the H1B here rather than doing the struggle there. As soon as the H1B is rejected, I will immediately file for H4 application and get that guy here.
Okay. So even if 221G is in progress, we can go and apply for H4. It's not going to affect
I want to have this job. This is my wife. It's not a conflict, sir. They're good. I tell people that if the H1 gets rejected, they should apply for H4 immediately and come here if they're eligible for. No reason for him to wait any. Even if the 221G is pending, he can still do it. Let him come here on H4. He can convert into H1 at any time without subject to CAP. 4042, you have a question for me.
Yes. Hi, this is Maheshwari. So my question is, I applied for my husband's H4 and H4 EAD in July 30th with my H1B extension. Mm-hmm. And I got my extension because I applied in premium. But my husband's, as you know, like it's getting delayed now and it's been more than 30 days.
Of course.
So right. I'm planning to, I saw your videos and I'm planning to litigate. So I just want to get some details do I need to talk to my attorney?
You don't have to talk with your attorney. You can file an individual litigation. If we file a litigation, things are getting mostly approved within 20 to 40 days. Every case is getting approved within 60 days after we file the litigation. The next litigation we're going to be filing is on September 27th. And if you have free time, you can come to a 12:30 conference and your husband come in. That conference call will not have so many members. I won't release the details of that here. You can drop an email to me. I'll give you the details of it. There's another conference call at 12:30. Not at this number, but a different number, okay?
Okay,
and then
there
I can speak with you only about H4 EADs, that conference call.
Okay. So it's again after half an hour, right?
Right, at 12:30. So if you can drop an email, I'll give you the details to you. Yeah.
Okay,
that's
sure. Right. Thank you. Yeah.
6599, you have a question for us. 6599, you have a question for us.
Hey, Rahul, 6599,
you have a question. Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Rahul, my name is... I have a situation where I'm on H1 and the H1 is due for extension in December, and we have plans to travel to India in January. My wife was in her OPT and her H1 lottery was not picked up in lottery, and her OPT is expiring in October and she's not willing to do a double masters. Now I'm planning to get my wife's H4 and H4 EAD approved before we leave in January. Is that possible?
So when is your H1B expiring?
My H1B is expiring in December, and as it is a full-time company, they would file it in November in premium. So they'll file in November. So they would,
are they going to file in premium processing or normal processing?
They would file in premium processing.
So your wife, why can she wait until the H4 is approved? Technically, she wants to travel or you want to travel?
We both want to travel, yeah.
When do you want to travel? In January?
In January, yes.
Yeah, you will get the approval by that time if you file in premium processing. I don't see any reason why H4... EAD will not be approved.
Will H4 will not be approved?
Even if the H4 is not approved, she can go for stamping and come back.
Oh, that doesn't impact any I-94 issues or something like that?
No, that will not impact. If she files for H4 right now, or if she files the H4 along with you in November, even if the H4 is pending, even if the H4 is not approved, she can go for stamping, absolutely no problem. You cannot go for stamping when your H-1B is pending, but she can go if your H-1B is approved.
Okay, so...
And once she comes back, you can file an EAD and join the litigation to get the EAD approval faster, because otherwise EADs are also taking between 7 to 8 months now.
Okay, so for so the company is willing to file H-4 and H-4D together as well before we leave? So that's not feasible, is it?
Go ahead and file it. You know, who knows, they may approve it. Go ahead and file it, but once she comes back, she should file the EAD again.
Okay, got it, okay. Yeah. And for that faster processing, even if the H4 EAD is not in premium, can we use the litigation services by our law group? Or does it have to be through premium?
Only, I would recommend that once she goes to India, she comes back and files the EAD second time. And then you come back to us, okay? And then we can file the litigation. Litigation is the only way right now for the H4 EADs to be approved. Otherwise, they're taking about 7, 9, 10 months now.
Okay, so just for my understanding, so we can apply H4 and go back to India, and that doesn't affect the case. Got it.
No, sir, that doesn't affect the case. 5759, you have a question for us.
Yes, hi, this is Pawan. I have a valid visa. Yeah. And I-94 until 2021, and my amendment has been filed with the current employer in regular processing, and I also have a offer from a second company, and they are going to file my change of employer transfer in premium processing. So I have a plan to go travel to.
Let me understand. You are working with company A. Company B already filed a transfer, right?
Yes. Company B filed the transfer in premium.
But you never joined company. You never joined company B yet.
No.
Okay. And now you have a company C.
Not company C. I have the company A that filed my amendment in regular processing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm planning to travel to India next month. So I saw a lot of forums that you can travel. If you have a visa and amendment receipt, you can go to India and come back to U.S.
Okay.
So
when you come back, would you join company A or company B?
Company A.
So company B, once you travel, then you can't join company B once you come back. You say that you're coming with company A's H-1B amendment.
Yes, because I already have the visa with company A.
Yeah, but you can still come back on company B's H-1B approval if you're going to join company B, even though you have a visa with company A. So you want to forego completely the opportunity with company B.
No, but I can just keep it aside, and once I'm back in U.S., I can
Then they have to file one more H-1B transfer. You can't use it, because when you come back, they'll give a H-1B with company A, not with company B, and you can't now move to company B. They have to file a transfer of H-1B from company A to company B again. If you go outside the country, you will forego company B's transfer.
Okay, but
number two problem I have is that when you come back, once the amendment is approved, there will be a mismatch in the I-94 of the H-1B that you actually, the I-94 that you got at the port of entry, and the I-94 that you get it along with the H-1B amendment approval. When the mismatch happens, it's going to confuse the whole system, and normally your driving license extensions and other things will become a big problem there. You have to correct the mismatch. The only way to correct is you can go to Mexico and come back and correct it. That's one way of doing it.
Okay. So when I'm in India, if I get the offer approval from company B, I need to go for the stamping with that approval B offer?
Not necessary. You don't have to. You can go with the company. You can have a company A stamping. When you come back into the country, you have to tell them you're going to work for company B if you're going to work for company B.
Okay. So I
don't
have to
go for the stamping. And you have to get the I-94 for the company B, yeah. So that's the reason. But if you then you will forego the opportunity with company A. When you enter into the country, you have to pick which company you have to go. You can't go with both the companies. So that's the reason travel will not allow you to have flexibility. If you don't travel, you'll be in a better shape.
Okay.
2890, you have a question.
Hi, Rahul. This is Moti here. Currently, I'm on an L1 visa. I am about to submit my extension. My current L1 is expiring on March 2020. And my wife is currently working on L2 EAD. And she got her new H1B starting from October. So when I file my extension, right, can I include my wife for an L2 visa status? Can she maintain the dual status?
When is the L2 expiring for her?
Her L2 is expiring on the same date, March 2020. And she got her H1 approved from October this year to June 2020. Yeah,
you can file for the extension along with you. But once the extension gets approved, though, she is no longer on the H-1B. She will be on L-2 visa. If this L-2 visa extension gets approved after October 1st, let's say October 5th or so onwards, I don't have a problem. But if they get the L-2 approval before October 1st, technically, she may have not been counted toward the H-1B number. Now it's September 12th. Most probable chance will be less. But when are they going to file the extension for you?
They will file it only on February or March, Rahul.
And when is your L2 expiring?
L2 is expiring on March of 2020. They will do it in premium.
Why would they go all the way there? Just because they want to prolong your...
That's one of the reasons. Yeah, so my question is like when I apply for a H1 extension for her next year, right?
Yeah, we have a little bit confusion here. Some of these companies, the big companies, they just want you to work as long as possible. They don't care about you. If I were the company where the H1B is, L2 is expiring in February or March, I would file the extension premium processing right now. Get a result, and if a negative result comes in, I will file one more application. The way these companies are doing is that they want to file and go for the 240-day rule and see what happens with you. There are a lot of problems that will occur because her H-1B is expiring in June of 2020. So that then she has to file for a H-1B extension. You can have both parallelly going. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Okay, I have one more question.
Make sure you can do one thing is that you can file a H-4 application to be on the safer side too.
Okay.
You can file a H-4 before your I-94 expires, and you can file a H-4 at the time when she's extending the H-1B. You need to plan all those things very carefully. But because these are all like if something goes wrong, you can be on the safer side, especially if you're an L1B. We're noticing a lot of denials on L1B nowadays. I'll take the last caller, guys. It's time. It's about 12 o'clock right now. The last caller, anonymous caller, you have any questions for us, sir?
Yes. Hi, this is Ankit Rahul. I got 221G administrative processing at the consulate for the employment gap for 3 months due to no pay stubs in the past. And now employer has withdrawn H-1B. Will I face any problems for stamping with the new employer?
It is a hiccup that will be there. It's a hurdle that will be there. But they will consider that you were unemployed for a period of 3 months. But you have still good chance of getting the approval, though. Just because of 3 months, they shouldn't be denying it.
Okay. Now, I have my I-140 approved, extension approved, amendment approved before I traveled to India. So, I don't possess any H-1B status now because the employer has already withdrawn my H-1B.
Of course.
So, the new employment would be a transfer or a new H-1B?
It's not considered a new quota H-1B since your I-140 is already approved for more than 6 months. You can file a H-1B under the consular processing without subject to cap. That means that they can file right now, do a premium process, and get you here in next month. They can do if you have a job offer.
Okay. But what about the stamping? Will I face any problem at the time of stamping, do I need to mention if I was unlawfully present in the DS-160, or did I violate status in the DS-164?
You may not have violated the status though, because not paying the salary is not your problem, it's employer's problem. In fact, you're a victim of it. It's not a violation of status according to us. But you have to take some corrective actions. Be careful in answering the questions when the consulate is telling. You may want to be careful on those things. But I do not consider that you violated status because the employer didn't pay it. Thank you guys for coming in. The next conference call will be tomorrow at 3.
Thank you for listening to Reddy and Newman Daily Podcast. We sincerely hope that you've taken something valuable out of it. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information or if you want to make an appointment, check out our websites, rnlawgroup.com and immigrationgirl.com. Have an awesome day.